intersection of good drinks, good music, and good times. This is Hops and Spirits Bar Conversations.
Well, I joked the other episode that somehow I get a lot of Canadians on this podcast, but we're going about as far away from there as humanly possible, I think, for our next guest, as we welcome in artist-songwriter. Her latest single, Overthinking, is out now. I believe she's in Australia currently. Let's welcome in Amy Shepherd.
Hello.
So now, are you down in Australia right now, taking a break from Nashville?
I am. I'm just here for a couple of weeks. I had a couple of shows and my little sister got married. So we had a few things to do down here, but we will be back in Nashville.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, this show is called Bar Conversations. I think it's lunchtime down there right now when we're talking, and it's evening for me. But I was having a little drink tonight, a little Yellowstone family recipe, since I know family is pretty important to you. Do you have a go-to drink these days, or what's your favorite that you like to have?
Ooh, I red wine. I know it's not that fancy, but nothing beats a red wine at the end of the day. But currently, I am having a coffee because, obviously, we're in the future here in Australia, and it's morning, so I couldn't bring myself to have an alcoholic beverage, but I hope coffee with a galah. This is a national
I love it. I love it. Nothing wrong with a little coffee. We have some that prefer coffee over a little harder drink. Now, do you have like a favorite coffee? I know you kind of said wine's your go-to at the end of the day. Do you have like a morning routine with coffee or anything?
I usually like black coffee because it's just like hard-hitting. instant. You can go anywhere and have a black coffee and it's pretty good no matter where you are in the world. So I learned to drink black coffee, but I've had a few today. So this one, I put a dash of milk. But yeah, usually I press and get my coffee going in the morning. I will say that I have become quite the addict since I've been to the US. So no, we've just been really busy and we've been nonstop, so I find 4 cups a day, which is terrible. Like but at the moment I'm just rolling with the 4 cups, so this is my third.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do to get through the day sometimes. And, you know, like I said, you're back home in Australia, but that wasn't where you were born and raised, Papua New Guinea. You lived there for a while and then Australia. What impact did growing up over there have on you musically and personally?
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know anything about Papua New Guinea, it's a small island nation, and it's only like an hour flight from Australia, but it's completely different to probably anything you may have experienced before. It is a third world country. You know, it has its issues, but I definitely had a beautiful childhood, different to anything like America or Australia. We were really sheltered from a lot of things. We couldn't just go down to the movies. There was no cinema. We couldn't really leave the house without like locking the doors and making sure we're secure in the car. Because they do have a lot of crime there, unfortunately. But my parents managed to give us a really great childhood. We had the opportunity to go and spend weekends on some of the surrounding islands, which are quite safe. And a lot of people spend time out on the water and, you know, fishing and jet skiing and just being outdoors, which is, I guess, some of the benefits of being there. But, yeah, I guess that's where my music came into it first, was in PNG, because my dad is a huge fan of country music and he used to blast Dolly Parton to wake us up in the morning. So we didn't have an alarm clock. We had Dolly Parton. And really,
hey, that's not a bad way to wake up.
No, not at all. At the time, we didn't like it because we were just sleeping. But it definitely rubbed off on me. And we were just exposed to what my dad, my mom were listening to. So a lot of country music. We were taught piano from a really young age, but I didn't really gravitate towards the theory and the classically, you know, the classic way of training. My dad was trained classically on piano, and he actually really didn't like learning that way, so he let us quit. But instead, I picked up his old guitar. He said, "Why don't you try this?" I found his it had 3 strings and it was dusty, and he really wanted me to be able to enjoy music because he didn't really get that opportunity. So I started playing guitar, learning country songs, and fell in love with writing music on guitar.
Well, and you talk about country music, writing country music, loving country music, but then you and your siblings didn't form a country band, though.
No. Right. So things weren't really into music. They gave up piano from a young age, and then we went off to boarding school in Australia and went our separate ways. But I always really wanted to be a musician. And it wasn't until after school I studied music at university, and one of my assignments was to write, record, produce, and market an EP, so a 5-track album. And so I was doing that, and my brother, who was actually studying acting at the time in Sydney, came into my room and was like, "Oh, what are you working on?" And I was like, "Oh, nothing you'd be interested in. I'm just doing this music project." And he heard what I was doing and had all of these awesome ideas. And then he was like, "Oh, like I've been teaching myself how to play piano at acting school." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah." And he played some keys, and he was really, really good, and he could sing, so he did some harmonies, and we just worked really well together. And we're like, "This is great." I think we wrote a couple of extra songs, and decided that we wanted to record them. So we did that. After I got an A plus for the assignment, I did really well with it. And then ever since then, we just started writing together and did some busking gigs, saved some money, did some recording, and then we started to accumulate a bit of a fan base in Brisbane, but just by doing like free gigs and free county fairs and all things like that. And then, sorry, it's a bit of a long-winded story, I hope you don't mind. And then,
Not at all, not at all.
yeah, because we had a bit of a fan base, we ended up getting the attention of one of Australia's biggest industry people. And he was actually a music promoter exclusively at that time, and he would bring in Coldplay and Keith Urban and all sorts of big American acts. Even though Keith is Australian, he's considered an international actor now. He would bring all of those acts in, and we found out that he was starting a management company. So he was looking for young artists to sign, and we found that out and asked if we could audition, and he obliged and said, "Come down to Sydney and I'll have you guys in the office." So we were freaking out, and we were just like couple of young kids in his office, and I remember having sweat patches because I was, had like such anxiety. This guy was a big deal in Australia, is a big deal, and we performed for him. I think we just did three acoustic songs, did some harmonies, and he loved it. And he said, "I'm going to come to one of your shows just to see how you guys are live, and we'll go from there." So I remember we had this big show in Brisbane. It was a sold out small music venue, but still it was sold out. And
Hey, it counts. It counts.
I remember my mum coming backstage and being like, "Chucky's here. Make sure you put on a good show. Like, he's here." And we were just like, "Oh my God, he's here." Anyway, we did the show, and obviously we had our fan base come through, and they were really getting into the music, and he decided to sign us from there. So it all really started from that point. We had a song called "Let Me Down Easy," and it ended up getting to number one on a Portland, Oregon radio station. And we were invited to do their Christmas show or something like that. And we went over there, and this huge hall of people were singing our song back to us in America. And we were just shocked. Like, we were nobodies, and we had Americans singing our song. And of course, we filmed it and put it online. And then before we knew it, Australia was like, "Come on this morning show because we want to talk about all your success in America." And then the radio stations added our single. And so we were off. And then it wasn't too long after that that we wrote Geronimo.
It's amazing to see how it all worked out, and I think I love this part too, because during your time of kind of having success with your siblings, and you were writing songs, but they would always say they're too country for what you guys were putting out.
Yeah, that's right. And I do have like a little bit of a yodel every now and then in my voice, just naturally. And my brother will often be like, "Can you just take that again? You had the yodel." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So yeah, I kind of got sick of my brother telling me what to do and decided that I'd lean into the country writing a little bit more. So in 2019, I wrote a country song called "Blue Guitar," and I sent it around to Chuggy, my manager, and a few of the country artists that I'd met along the way in Australia, and said, like, am I crazy for doing this? Does this sound like it could fit into the country world? And they all loved it. They said, this is amazing. It could be a hit. So why don't, and then Chuggy said, why don't you go to Nashville, do some writing, see if you like the community, see if you like the style of writing and the, you know, the musicians there. Well, it's not to love, right? But anyway, he said to go and experience it and see what you come out with. So I went to Nashville and wrote a bunch of songs, met huge, like some incredible people, fell in love with the country industry, came back with a bunch of songs, and then the pandemic hit, of course. So that put a huge handbrake on my project. Alas, in 2022, I managed to drop my EP, Nothing But Wild. And in Australia, it went to number one on the ARIA charts, which is like our equivalent to the Billboard in country. So yeah, that was just like my nod to say, yeah, like you're in the right direction and people are loving what you're doing and keep going.
I was going to say, I mean, it had to be kind of weird in a sense because you guys were and still are having success as Shepherd. But, you know, like you said, you kind of wanted to take that step outside and kind of pursue that route. Was it a weird thing to do to kind of have both the pop rock world of Shepherd and the country world of you?
Yeah, definitely. It's even now people are like, oh, have Shepherd broken up? I'm like, no, we're still going. I just wanted to do this for me. And I just had the itch to write some more country music and to really get into the industry. So, you know, it is a risk and it was pretty scary. I wasn't sure if I was going to be accepted into the country community coming from pop. You know, I know that country fans can be really protective of the genre, rightfully so. So I was treading carefully and I didn't want to pretend to be something that I wasn't. I wasn't going to come in with a cowboy hat and a twang in my voice after, you know, presenting myself as a pop artist. So yeah, I made sure to keep it as authentic as possible. But I really did want to show this side of my art and how I can songwrite. So it was important to me to do that, to grow as an artist. And it seems to be going well. So the country crowds are great. They're some of the best in the world. They're really accepting. The other artists as well in the country industry have been really forthcoming with welcoming me into the community, inviting me to writing sessions, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, and like you said, you know, when you were able to put out that EP, you had success. You had already had success with Shepherd, but to have that solo success and kind of get that validation, I'm guessing that had to feel pretty good that you were right and people were telling you the right things and you were able to do something for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's I'm not going to lie though, I haven't just like jumped into it and like ridden the success of Shepherd and managed to just like trick everybody. It has been hard work, and there have been times where I've performed to like very little people, and I know in America especially, I'm going to have to do some hard yards, and that's okay. I'm willing to put in the work and to connect with a whole another audience who might not even know about Shepherd. So we'll see how it goes, and I'm willing to try my best, and I just hope that people can connect with what I'm doing. I know it's not full country, it's not bluegrass, but it's my version of country, and it's country pop, and I know that some people are connecting with it here, and I hope that translates to the US as well.
Well, I was gonna say country music anymore is got plenty of kind of offshoots. I mean, whether it's kind of a more rockish side to a more popish side, there's a lane for everybody, and it's really cool to see that. And you know, you talked about, you know, coming over to write and kind of see if Nashville was cool, and then I believe you and your brother moved over here, right, to actually kind of be based in Nashville. Why make that move?
Yeah, so we decided on Nashville because I loved it so much. And then my brother George came out one time for a writing session. It was very brief. He'd only been there for like 2 days and he kind of got it. You know, we've been to LA many, many times and we just never really felt like we could live there. But when we went to Nashville, we were like, oh, this feels very much like Brisbane, which is where we're from. We've got like a river city. It's a big country town feel. You can get around easily. Traffic isn't too bad yet. And we just fell in love with it. So we love Australia. We miss it terribly. But, you know, there's just not the industry that there is in Nashville. You know, since we've moved, we've been writing 5 days a week. And in Australia, it's really just like, it's kind of niche to be a musician. It's to be a songwriter as your full-time career is really, really rare. So we just like decided that we needed a bit more opportunity with songwriting. We need to be doing it 5 days a week, you know? And we were doing things in Australia, like we were writing amongst ourselves and doing interviews and whatever else. We were filling our time, but I think being in Nashville really gives us the opportunity to collaborate with some of the best in the world. And Nashville's in the center of the US, so we can tour from there, and you know, we can just drive up to Chicago, we can go to New York or LA, and it's just really central. So that's why we landed on Nashville.
Yeah, a little easier than a 20-hour flight, depending on where you're headed. And also, like you, like you said, you're here with your brother. You still, get to go back home and get to do fun stuff there too. What's it like though, being in a band with your siblings, working with them, writing? I mean, ever, a little sibling, frustration ever come out?
Oh, time. But it's great because we can be honest with each other. We can have full brawls and like we don't really carry it on into the next day. You know, we can say exactly how we feel without having to walk on eggshells. And I think that's been an asset to the band because I've seen a lot of bands break up because they have a fight. Whereas we fight and disagree every day, and 10 minutes later, you're like, oh, can I borrow your caper or whatever it is. So yeah, I think that's a real asset. We get along really well. We all, as we get older, we kind of operate in the same friendship groups, and we're just getting closer and closer. So I mean, there's no one else I'd rather be doing it with. I love my siblings, and it's great that we get to do this together.
I was going to say, it's pretty special to be able to do something you love with people you love. I mean, that's always an extra special thing. And then something that might have been extra fun for you recently, you were on The Masked Singer in Australia. What made you do that, and what was that experience like?
Oh, so funny. I thought they were casting, and my PR agent said, would you be open to going on The Masked Singer? I think you'd be perfect for it. And so they submitted me, and I was accepted as a wild card. So I came in halfway through the competition as Miss Orca. So I was a killer whale, which was great. I had a fabulous costume. She was in a like a fisherman's outfit, the yellow raincoat, and she had beautiful eyelashes. And everyone fell in love with Orca because I think the cost, you know, everyone loves killer whales. They're very tactical, smart creatures. And I made it through 3 episodes before I got eliminated, and it was a great experience. I got to sing Sure, I got to sing Fleetwood Mac, some real classics. And yeah, I mean, the costume is so heavy. It was, I don't know how heavy it was exactly, but I remember just huffing and puffing trying to get through the songs because you are actually singing under there. You have one of those little like Madonna mics. And then they give you like choreography and just like trying to carry around this like huge costume. And I had these arms, like Hulk hands, but they were made of ceramic, so they were really heavy. And I was just like trying to hold them out for the whole song and do my dance moves, and it was quite a challenge, but I'm so glad I got to do that in my career because I guess not many people get to do that. Yeah, and I was standing on stage next to like LaToya Jackson and some like huge Aussie stars as well, and some of them are actually my good friends and I had no idea, so it's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, it's a cool thing to do, and something that you always get to look back on. And another thing that I think you always probably look forward to and like to think about is the songs you get to actually put out there. One of your most recent was Overthinking. Tell me a little bit about that song, how it came to be. I know you're one of the co-writers on it, so what made that song come to life?
Yeah, so I actually started overthinking in my hotel room. I always like to have like a springboard idea before I go into a writing session, just in case one of the other writers don't have a springboard idea. It can get a bit tedious if you go in just with nothing. So anyway, I wrote Overthinking, the chorus of it, and I presented it at the session with Lindsay Rhymes and Phil Barton, who are both Aussies in Nashville. And they loved the idea, and so they ran with it, and we wrote it within like a couple of hours. And Lindsay is just like the most incredible producer. He produces it right in front of your eyes, and it, basically are left with a finished song from start to finish. So I love that process of seeing a song from its very initial concept, because in my notes on my phone, I just have ideas. So just if it's a cool word or just a cool concept, like I had overthinking, as if like I'm thinking too much, but also I'm so sick of thinking. So I had that in brackets. Yeah, so it's amazing to see the song come to life from just a little idea in your notes. And yeah, it references Broadway, because obviously I was in Nashville when I wrote it. And yeah, the whole song is just about running into an ex on Broadway and then overthinking about them and getting overthinking about them.
Well, it's a fun song, and it's neat to kind of see where those ideas start. And you know, you've talked about kind of writing for a long time now, and you know, always liking to kind of have the guitar and hope people connect. What is that process like for you? Is it just a random idea? Is it life experiences? Is it a combo? Where does those sparks come from?
Yeah, all of the above. Sometimes I'll just have like a little melody in my head, and I pick up my phone and I have a recorder on voice notes. So I've had dreams where I just come up with a song in my dream, and I like wake up in the middle of the night and record it, and then you realize it's actually already a song that exists. But you never know where inspiration comes from, and I often just try and record or write down my ideas, because you never know, like even if it might be a cool word, like wrote a song the other day called Ricochet because I just love that word and it's been in my notes for ages, and yeah, I finally got to do it the other day. So you never know where it's going to come from. Sometimes you present an idea in a songwriting session and it doesn't really hit. The other writers just don't get it. They don't see it. But I never disregard it. I always will bring it up at another session, because quite often there'll be another writer who does get the vision, and you can complete those songs. So I love it when that happens as well. But yeah, life experiences, but also sometimes it's just storytelling. It's just an idea, and something beautiful can be created from something that might not necessarily has happened exactly. I mean, Dolly Parton does that all the time. She writes songs that maybe aren't exactly true, but you do always draw from personal experience.
Well, it's just a way folks can connect and see themselves in the story, in the song. And do you ever look back at your notes and go, what was I thinking with that one? I don't know what I wrote. You ever have those moments?
Well, I mean, looking back on notes, but also songs that I've written and finished that just don't hit the way that I thought they would. But anyway, you've got to try. You're always going to have failures, but when the wins do happen, it makes them even more satisfying.
Well, and you know, as you put more music onto paper and make it happen, obviously that means more songs might be coming. So new music that you're allowed to talk about, I don't want you to get you in trouble or anything, but anything that you're able to talk about that's coming down the road?
Yeah, so I'm working on just releasing singles at this point, because I am new to Nashville. I just know that there are going to be a ton of songs that are going to be born out of being there and writing with some of the great writers. So I'm not rushing an album, but you can definitely expect more songs. I have a song which I've released in Australia called Small Town Rumors. It's my next single in the States. We're still running with Overthinking, but Small Town Rumors is the next one, and it's currently number 5 in Australia on the country chart. So I'm hoping that America will follow suit and fall in love with the song as well.
I was going to say that one I caught on Spotify, and it was a fun listen. And I know you do stuff also beyond music, including your spokesperson for Body Positive. Why is that something that is near and dear to you, and you know, something you want to make sure others realize?
Yeah, because I mean, I've struggled with my body image for a really long time, and I know I'm not the only one. Nearly every single woman struggles with a body image, and more increasingly men now with the rise of social media. And it's just something that everyone struggles with, but nobody, or not a lot of people, want to follow suit with, in terms of like showing their vulnerable selves. A lot of people talk about love the skin you're in, but not many people actually walk the walk and talk the talk. So Rather than just speaking about loving yourself, I decided to upload pictures of my flaws. Upload photos of cellulite and, unflattering photos, because I think it's important that people see all angles and realize that we're all human and we do have flaws, and it's okay. Bodies change. Bodies aren't meant to be plastic perfect things. And I think as someone in the public eye, I think it's important to show that message and to carry that through my career, because you can have cellulite and have a number one single.
Well, like you said, everyone has flaws, and there's not really a perfect out there, and it's neat to be able to do that, because I mean, you also are able to connect probably even more so with folks, and have, like you said, they see you're just a normal person, and even though you're doing amazing things in music, you're still a normal person and still deal with the same things.
Yeah, I think people, as you said, they want someone to relate to and connect to, not somebody who's like up on a pedestal. I think that's, people are sick of that. They want to see why they are like you, not why you're better than them. So that's something that's definitely worked for me. People really relate to that, and so that's something that I really feel passionate about and I want to continue on in my career.
Well, and like I said, you're down in Australia right now for some shows. You're coming back to Nashville in a few weeks as well, and I'm sure you got more things coming, like you said, with music. What else can folks expect from you in 2024? What are you hoping to do?
Well, I'm hoping to get some shows. I don't have any planned yet, but I've just started meeting some people in the industry, so no doubt there'll be shows on their way. I've been putting my hands up for like little free things here and there, so I can't announce anything yet, but if you do want to follow along, I'll be on socials at Amy Shepherd Pie, and my website's at amyshepherdofficial.com. So that's where I upload all updates, and I'm sure any listeners and fans can see me in Nashville or the surrounding areas pretty soon.
Well, and I like that, and they can also maybe catch up when you drop those new singles. And where did Amy Shepherd Pie, just a fun play on the last name, come from? Is that where that came from?
Yeah. Gosh, it was like my nickname in high school, and I just decided to make it my Instagram name when Instagram first came out, and it kind of just stuck.
Hey, I love it how things happen. You just never know where a nickname might come from and how long it might stick. And Amy, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the chat. And if you haven't yet, give her a listen. Check her out. I don't think you will be disappointed.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Find more from Hops and Spirits at hopspirits.com.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.